Hello, and welcome back to the Dungeons & Dragons Podcast UK. My name is Yasmin, and I will be the DM.
Hi, my name's Spencer. I play Caddo Chasseur, a cleric from Gavany, who has a pet dog called Pickle.
Hi, my name is Samantha. I play Laura Greyvale, and she is a sorceress from the province of Nephalia.
Hello, I'm Colin, and I play Quinn de Greymont, a paladin from Flarbon in the province of Gavany.
Hi, I'm Ryan. I play Ogvar Shawfort, a goat-herding, mushroom-seeking ranger from Kessig.
Control of the city now in the hands of Thraben's holy hierarchy, the party consider their moral and civil duties done and dusted. Talk now turns to the urgent and as yet unresolved missive entrusted to Quinn by the Lunarch Machaeus. Time and tide wait for no man, and the team need to start making progress with their fact-finding mission to acquire answers and crack the codex related to this dryonic resonator before it is too late. Needing to secure suitable transport for their jaunt down to Jenrick's Tower, Ruth is asked to send one of her Cathars out to acquire a sturdy wagon and some suitable steeds. Ogvar and Alora embark on a mini mission of their own to track down some personal purchases and essential travel supplies. Episode 98, Pavement Punch-Up. Housekeeping. Drumroll, if you please. This week we have a very special and heartfelt thank you from the crew to the lovely Jeff Harmon. For those of you who follow our Facebook group, you may have noticed a post in which some amazing sentiments about our podcast were left this week. Jeff, your thoughts are valued and extremely appreciated. It was amazing of you to take the time to share. It means a lot to all of us, so thank you so very much.
Ogvar and Alora, you pop into the guild. You are only in the front part of the guild where all of these jobs are displayed, but you can tell that it is quite a muted atmosphere. You can't hear a lot of the joyful merriment that was floating through these kind of saloon-style doors. You hear a lot of whispering and a lot of muttering. You might be able to catch the odd kind of comment about the guards and whatnot, and you can probably say that what happened, the siege on the church, has spread far and wide in the city already. And both of you can make me a listen check, actually.
That'll be a nat 20 for Ogvar on his listen check.
Oh, wow.
With how much is your bonus on it as well?
Doesn't matter, a nat 20 is nat 20.
That's a 12 all in for Alora.
12 all in. Okay, so Alora, you catch like little drifts of conversation, bits saying about guards and the church, and you're able to piece together kind of a pretty good idea of what the hot topic of conversation is. Ogvar, you're actually able to hear a little more. Perhaps as the saloon-style doors swing open, you hear the burst of chatter and a burst of conversation drift out into this main foyer area. And you hear a lot of talking about the events of the previous day. However, they are blown wildly out of proportion. So you hear stories of golden celestials riding down on winged horses, exterminating evil and purging the land. And then you hear someone else start up saying that they were, you know, innocent, honest, hardworking men and women slaughtered by the bloodthirsty church. And it devolves into a big fight. And you can hear a big fight break out. You can hear tankards being thrown, shouting, slurs and curse words being tossed around. And it all kind of kicks off inside the guild. Okay, so are you looking on the boards for jobs?
Yeah.
Are you looking around the place, or...?
Yeah!
You're going to walk into the fight.
There'll be a lot of repair jobs going up on the board by the sound of it.
There won't be many people to take up the jobs.
Well, it seems quite rowdy in there today.
Yeah, it does a bit. I think we'll just avoid that. Let's just go to the job board.
Yes, just stay in the foyer.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So we're just going to duck our way over to the job board, and if anything flies out the door, we're just ducking out the way.
Okay, so you make your way over to the job board. You can see there are lots and lots of flyers for jobs. A lot of the jobs are in Selhoff. But do you know what lies in between Selhoff and Jenvik's Tower?
No.
The road to Jenrik's Tower.
Excellent.
Yeah, good call.
By the look of it, there's...
Oh, a Tarrasque, let me see.
No, we wouldn't know. So
Mirkut, depending on which way we go, we've got to get across the river.
We wouldn't know.
We don't have a map to
look. Well, you have the maps, which...
How much?
We didn't look at a lot of maps.
We've actually got
journeys,
that with the things marked on it. Oh, okay. All right.
You've got the Mirkat Marsh. Then you've got directly east, Jenrik's Tower, and it looks like a marshy place there.
Yeah, so you've got like cross the river somehow.
Right.
So basically, that's a no.
Can I borrow that map?
And it's basically due east, isn't it?
Right. Okay. So, Laura will turn to Ogvar and say, well, okay, there's quite a few jobs on here, but and she's gonna pull the map out of her pocket, which is very crumpled by now, and she's just gonna open it up and show it to Ogvar, and they're going to look at the route down from Selhoff down towards Jenrik's Tower. They can see that there's something called Mawkrut Marsh marked on it, and they've got to cross a river at some further down, but there's nothing else actually marked in terms of place names. So I think she would turn round and go to the desk and perhaps is there somebody at the desk this morning?
Yes, there is. There's a quite old, battle-scarred looking man. He looks to be in his late 60s, missing a tooth or two, you know, big, thick, ropey scars across his arms, and you can see quite a nasty looking scar on his neck where you could say he's probably escaped death by a whisker. He's dressed quite plainly, good solid clothing, kind of just a beige colour all round. He looks at you, nods, and let me see, how can I help?
Good morning. I wonder if you can. That damn dog follows me everywhere. Shh, I'll put you outside. I didn't say that to the man behind the desk.
That's rather aggressive.
It is really, isn't it? We're heading out of Selhoff today. Heading down sort of southeast direction. We're just going further south. Wonder if there's anything on the job board, because we're not quite sure what places we'll be going through. Wondered if you could tell us whether there are any jobs on that board that might be suitable for us, seeing as we're travelling in that direction.
Depends where you're going, Missy. You going south, or you going Jenrik's Tower's way?
We're going out towards Jenrik's Tower.
Right, okay. Well, if you're going out towards Jenrik's Tower, there's only the one place between here and Jenrik's Tower, and that would be Stagwick.
Right. Is that kind of equidistant between the two places, or...?
Yeah, it's about halfway. About halfway, yeah. Stagwick's a small little town. However, I do think they actually have a job at the moment, if you were so inclined.
Well, yeah, we might as well take something if we're going that way. Might be able to help somebody else out.
Depends on the job, I suppose, but if you want some more information.
Yeah. What is it? What is the job? What's it entail?
Yeah, one second there. And he heaves himself up. You can see he's been sat on like a stool, a tall stool. He heaves himself up, and as he stands and begins to walk out from the counter, you hear the sound, the footfall, and then a clunk, and a footfall, and a clunk. As he appears around the end of the counter with what is very clearly a below-the-knee amputation, which probably you would say put paid to his career, he still looks very fit, very healthy otherwise. You could say he was probably an adventurer himself, lived a life of danger, but his lost leg has put pay to his career.
Has he got a parrot companion by any chance?
No, but you might end up with an eye patch if you don't stop.
Continue.
Thank you. So he walks over to the wall and he pulls a sheet of paper off the wall, rips it out, so that he leaves the pin in the wall, just rips it down, walks back over to his desk, sits back down. You see him stretch the one leg out and he rubs his hand on his thigh of the lost leg. And he begins to, he reads what's on the paper, and he pulls a small pair of glasses, perches them on the edge of his nose, moves the paper about a foot out from his face, stares downwards at it, and then begins to read. Stagwick. Not much on the detail side, unfortunately. But then, nobody really wanted to investigate this one. I don't blame them. There have been reports. See, bit of context here. Stagwick's a little town, but they've got a fair-sized ruin. Not far out from the main town itself. Locals don't go there. It's not really a place they want to go. Bit of bad rumours. Bit of bad history there, so it's not the most popular place, but there have been rumours of creatures turning up at the moment with the dead holes in the neck. Suggestions there might be a bit of a bitey bastard lurking around there somewhere.
Can you just run through that one more time for me? I'm not sure I understood that.
Okay. Town has problem, old ruins, dead animals, bite marks in animals. They want it fixed.
Oh, I see it, sir. Okay, so I suppose we could take a look, couldn't we, Laura?
Yeah. What's this? Is this their domestic animals, or is it their stock, livestock, or?
Be honest with you, I'd say it's probably a mixture of livestock, wild animals, pets.
Oh.
You name it.
Wow, general then. Okay.
Yeah, it just says animals, so, you know.
So something killing the animals or injuring the animals then?
Oh. Oh no, not injuring, just killing.
Oh. Oh. That's a bit grim. I don't know what it is. All right then.
Well, I'd hesitate to make a guess and say it's something with fangs, but.
He's a sarky bugger, isn't he?
Okay, fine. We'll have a look on the way down. We'll take that one, okay? We'll see what we can do with it. How much does that one pay?
Well, depends what it is. That's the thing about this one. It's probably why no one's taken it, alongside the fact that nobody really goes down to Stagwick. But because they're not sure what it is, they don't really know how to cost it out at the moment. They're offering at the moment 50 gold if you can figure out, and then they'll see where it goes from there. They'll land it privately. So it's only a small 50 gold, but if it is something particularly nasty and you deal with it, I'd say you'll probably get paid a bit more.
Should we just take it, Ogvar? Because we're going that way anyway. We'll just take it.
Run it past the other guys when we get home.
Yeah, we'll have a look.
Yeah. We should make a joint decision altogether if we feel like taking on the endeavour. So, just keep hold of the bit of paper and we'll go back with it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do that. Okay, that's fine. Thank you. She's going to show the card so that he knows who's taken the... Show her card for the guild so he knows who's taken the actual task, the job.
Yep. He looks at it, writes down your name in a ledger. He's got big, meaty hands and he gives a... licks the thumb and just slowly flips the pages till he gets to the right page, writes down your details, and hands you over the slip of paper.
Which she takes and pockets. And she'll fold up her map and stuff that back in the pocket, in her pocket as well.
Okay. So, back to... Actually, no, sorry. So, what are you doing now, Ogvar Law? Are you leaving the guild?
Yeah. I suppose we should go back to the church and find the other two. Three?
Yeah, fine. Let's do that then. Why not? Yeah, it's a quiet morning for us, really. Makes a change.
A lot less arrows involved in this one.
Oh, God, tell me about it. Just want a quiet day.
Both of you make a listen check.
As you get hit in the back with an arrow.
That's a 22 all in from Elora.
Nice.
14 for Ogvar.
Okay. You both hear, as you turn to leave, you hear the argument inside. Although it's devolved to the point of blows exchanging, you hear the argument ramp up once again. And you both hear a rather familiar voice. Well, I say, the Battle of Dryfish Dock!
Oh. Laura's going to exchange glances with Ogvar. Cock her head swiftly to one side, motioning for the door, and she's just going to make a dive for the door. She's getting out of there.
Ogvar just nodded.
Maybe a reflex save.
Ooh. A reflex save. Okay. That will be a 10, all in.
Okay. As you make a dive for the door, Laura, you hear from behind you, "What are you doing, you impertinent shit? Get off me!" As through these swinging saloon doors comes a gaggle of men, hefted between them the corpulent body of Jerome Vandertak, who's spluttering about Dryfish Dock's impertinent little shits, as his red and florid face, you can see that several of his buttons are missing off his jacket, and he's held kind of a bit like a log. As they push past you, Elora, sending you scuttling backwards, and promptly throw him bodily out into the street.
Well, Elora has no idea. She's never met Jerome Vandertak, but she has heard of the tales from her companions, so she automatically realises who this is. It doesn't take a huge amount of perception to work that out. She's just going to watch this happen. And then presumably watch the men retreat back into the guild again.
Oh no, they don't retreat.
They don't?
Oh dear.
Oh dear.
They don't retreat. Jerome, after he's rolled on the floor a couple of times, you see his... this city guard's uniform, this obviously this very high ranking uniform, this blue, Ogvar, you'd obviously recognise him, but his blue wool jacket with these shiny buttons which are stretched, you can see several of the buttons are missing, he's got tears in his clothing, his top buttons where they were kind of done up under his flabby jowls, his collar's open and ripped, he looks generally dishevelled. He picks himself off the floor, coated in dust, and you can see he's rather unfortunately landed in a pile of horse crap, which is now smeared across his right cheek, down his jowls and the front of his jacket. He stands up, and with this very crazed look in his eyes, he starts, I'm the captain of the city guard, don't you know, you little shit, I'll have you thrown into Clapton Irons, I'm worse than the Battle of Dryfish Dock, as he starts spluttering. The men who've just thrown him out and begun to turn away, it is like a flash fire going over this crowd, and soon enough, you would probably say that half of the occupants of the guild's dining hall pour out into the street and begin fighting. And where they were initially just piling up on top of Jerome, they are now fighting each other, and it has devolved all these petty arguments which and small grudges they might have ever had. Everything is coming out in the wash, and it is now filling the street in front of the guild.
Oh, God.
There's probably about 40 odd people involved in this brawl. It is a proper brawl. You see, you know, the odd character come running out of the bar with a chair in hand or a stool in hand. You see tankards getting thrown, bottles being thrown. It is a full-scale riot in the street.
Bundle.
What's she going to do? She's going to look at Ogvar. I don't... What would she do?
Go in the guild, there's plenty of tables now.
Have a quiet drink.
Sit down for a drink.
Hang on a minute. Oh no. I don't know what she'd do. No. I think she would just tug Ogvar's sleeve and just literally walk away, walk around them, try and dodge between them and just leave the area.
Yeah, make me a reflex save if that's what you're doing.
I could try and tangle again. It worked well on the other ones. It might slow them down a bit.
You could try and tangle. I did think about Grease. It'd be funny, wouldn't it? Reflex save will be 12 all in.
Be 14 all in.
That's brilliant.
14. With a 14 and a 12, you escape with minor damage. And when I say minor damage, you know, you might get struck across the back with a bottle, a flying bottle, and it breaks across your back. And it doesn't do any damage, but, you know, you're just showered with little bits of glass. You know, although you've probably got glass in your hair, and you have to kind of tossle through your hair to get it out. You know, you might get caught with the odd stray fist or stray elbow. Then it's not dealing any damage. But you are just trying to skirt around, and you know there's fruit and vegetables being thrown. You kind of have to duck down in time, and you see a semi-rotten tomato splatter against the house to your right as it's just thrown. And it is a full-on street brawl. Both of you make me a spot check.
That's 11 all in from Alora, who is contemplating as to whether she should have cast Mage Armour on herself.
But yeah, 17 for Ogvar.
Okay, so Alora, as you're escaping, your head's down, you've got your hat pulled low, you're keeping your hat on your head, you're making sure that there's nothing going to hit you in the face. Ogvar, as you duck away from yet another rotten cabbage, you catch sight of, on the floor, the figure of Jerome attempting to claw and crawl his way out from underneath this mob. He makes direct eye contact with you, locks eyes, opens his mouth to splutter something, most likely about Dryfish Dock, before he is grabbed by, you'd assume, the ankle and yanked swiftly back into the thick of it.
Oh, it looks a bit painful in there. Think he's going to be all right?
I don't know. I don't really know him.
We don't really know who's going to break this up. There's no city guard to keep the peace.
Look, the way I see it is we've done our bit. I don't think this one's for us.
Times like that, you wish you had a queue in.
He'd enjoy this.
Okay. So you're making your way back up to the church now, yeah?
Yeah, I'm. Yeah. Alora will be beating a hasty retreat away from that lot.
Yeah. As you make your way up to the church, you actually pass. You see approaching you the figure of Armin Ducasse. He has about 10 Cathars with him, and he is full on sprinting. He slows down as he sees you, and he goes, "You're right there. Seen a fight by any chance?"
Yes. That way, Armin, you are
bloody
not...
big one.
Yeah, you're not going to miss it. Trust me. It's a bit messy down there.
Excellent. Any perps you saw, or...?
It's hard to distinguish who the innocent party is, really. I think they're all guilty.
Yeah.
Excellent.
You might need to go and rescue the captain of the guard. He's somewhere in the thick of it. You'll hear him before you see him, though.
Yes.
Wonderful.
But he looked guilty. I think he started it.
I should take that under advisement. Thank you, Ogvar.
No problem.
Right, okay. Onwards. See you later.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Enjoy.
Proper dobbed him in.
And Armin hot foots it, and these cathars behind him, they are clearly all very fit. He probably works them to an inch of their life every day and drills them. They're not out of puff, they're not out of breath, despite having sprinted down from what you would assume would be the church. And they head off back the way you've just come from, presumably to go and break up the fight and get involved.
Elora watches them go, raises an eyebrow appreciatively, and then turns round and continues to walk. Fast.
Okay. Kewin and Caddo, you were left in this room in the church. It's probably more like it's just like a little, you'd say it's probably like a little study room or a spare room. There's a, you know, there's some desks and bookcases. It actually looks a little bit like a classroom. You'd probably assume it's where Ruth teaches the younger Cathars, these two young ones, teaches them letters, teaches them to read, write. You probably assume it's that kind of room. There's a couple of little old kind of style desks with ink wells and the lift top lids. Yeah, and you're just left in this room. What are you doing?
I'll turn to Kewin, return to Gop, to Caddo. Well, we're alone. Is everything all right?
Yeah, everything's fine, but I wanted to speak to you before we spoke to the others. As I see it, the de facto leader of our quest, I thought I should tell you first. I had a conversation with Ruth and the bishop last night, and they've invited me to take on a role as the religious guide, if you like, for the city post the problems they're having with Axum. And I have to say, I feel duty bound that I should assist with the current problems with the city. So I have accepted their kind offer of becoming his deputy and Ruth's assistant and guiding the city. But I thought I should let you know first before we discuss it with the others. And I wanted to give you a gift because I thought you might find it handy. So I think you've seen me using this, but it's my belt, and it's very handy. It has the power to heal, which I know it's my primary role within the group. So I thought if I gifted you my belt, it may go some way to help with your future endeavours. And with that, I will take off my belt and. Quite a lot of portly belly will fall out of the space that we've been held back by it. And I shall pass it over.
Thank you. I don't know what we'll do without you and Pickle.
Oh, you'll manage. You'll pick somebody else up along the way. Esther kind of knows what she's doing when it comes to healing people. And you'll certainly have more rations available.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. Well, I know we sort of lost. What was his name?
Galor.
I know we lost Galor, but I knew him, but you know, he'd hardly really started. But
well, we might find him again. You never know.
Oh, don't say that. but you know, you've been part of the old troop. You know.
Well, it might turn out that once you've been through Generic's over to Generic's Tower and sorted out things there, as you come back through this way, it might be that the Bishop Ruth and I have managed to sort out the issues with Axum and straightened out the city, and it might be that I can rejoin you. But I suspect this is probably a lifelong task that the church have asked me to undertake. But I shall see.
Well, yes, well, all I'll say is, do you want me to get you a belt to replace this? Because I saw the flop forward of your belly that this has been keeping in. And if you're staying here with Ruth...
Well, I have to say, it was part of the decision process. She does cook an awfully good dinner.
I said, you know, because...
Okay. Well, we'll be sorry. We'll have to tell everybody.
Yes. But I wanted to tell you first, as our de facto leader and the person charged with this holy task.
Yeah. Also, you know the Morning Star. Keep it.
Oh, that's very gracious. Thank you. I was going to go find it and pass it back. But
well, you know those young Kaffirs. If they get out of hand, I know Ruth uses a ladle. You could always use the Morning Star.
Oh my God.
So it's always good to have the Book of Faith in one hand, but just in case, you've got the Morning Star.
Well, yes, indeed. Yeah, it's very good advice, Kieran. Very good advice.
We're going to put a child abuse warning out on this episode.
All Kaffirs.
Yeah, he did.
I didn't say just the young Kaffirs. I mean, Colbin. Boom.
He's going to be my new best friend.
May contain mild threat.
Right.
Okay. This conversation probably wouldn't take long to have, at all. And Ogvar and Alora are gone for a little while, so probably in the meantime you're finding other things to do, polishing weapons, just having a chat, discussing, you know, what each other's going to do next. And eventually, Alora and Ogvar return.
As Alora comes through the church, she'd probably immediately go and fill up the glass bottle, the large vial, it's larger than a vial, isn't it? It's a bottle that she's purchased with holy water, and then just slip that into a backpack so that she's all set.
You take the cork off, and it's a bit like a kind of like a mason jar style top. It's got this metal around the neck of the bottle, which when you pull the cork over and push the latch down, it will seal the cork in. But you pop it off, and it's got this really like pleasing pop as it comes off. You drop it into the fountain, and you push it down, and you get the as it fills up, and you pull it out, smack the top back in, you get the clack of metal shutting, shake it off a bit, you might dry it off on your cloak, and yeah, you've got a full bottle of holy water.
Is there any chance that Caddo sees this happening?
Well, you're going to be in the church. She's in the church. 50-50.
Oh, let's go. High or low. Let's go high.
Right, do you want to roll it?
Oh. Uh, 27, that's no good to me, is it?
No, you don't see her do this.
Okay. Would any of the Cathars see it happen?
50-50.
Let's go higher.
Actually, there's more Cathars than her, so there's a 75% chance that someone's going to see her, so high or low?
High.
81. Yeah. She does get seen by a couple of Cathars.
I'm just bearing in mind that holy water's something that churches and cathedrals normally charge for. She's just helping herself. as an ungodly person, just dipping a cup into, I'll have half a pint of that.
Alora feels quite entitled. She doesn't even bother to look around because she knows that she's done a lot of service for the church. And at the end of the day, it is the church's property that she is caring for. So Alora actually doesn't care what anybody thinks.
Oh, they might sidle up to you and ask you for the 25 gold pieces that's normally cost for a vial of holy water.
Yeah, a couple of Cathards do see you. They don't say anything. Gerhardt, however, sidles up to you. He's hello, whippersnapper.
Oh.
Having a bit of a cheeky sip, are we?
Well, I've got this eye to look after, haven't I, Gerhard? I've got to get that right. My journey's quite long.
Yeah. Whatever, whippersnapper. My holy water's a tad of vodka. And off he goes.
Excellent.
And Laura's just going to stand there smiling.
Okay.
She's then going to go and find the others.
Yep. Okay. Wild Bimble's along with her.
Okay. So yeah, it doesn't take you long at all to find Caddo and Kewin. They're pretty much where you left them.
Hello, both.
Men of action as normal.
Yeah.
feet up on a chair.
I see you haven't got lost. You're both very quiet.
Well, you'll see Kewin will be just still stood there, looking at the belt and looking at Caddo in bemusement, trying to get everything. Because, let's face it, he isn't the most intuitive and he isn't the most... What's it? And he's just trying to think what has gone on.
Hiya, Kieran. We've got what we needed. Oh, what you got there?
It's Caddo's belt of healing.
Can you two just not get a room?
Are you suggesting, Laura? I'm a man of God.
Why have you got why has he got your belt of healing? What's holding your trousers up now?
No. I find my trousers are tighter and tighter most days, actually, Ogvar.
Well, I know that feeling.
Yeah.
Ogvar and Caddo are having like a belly off at the moment.
In fact, I might be having to buy some new ones soon.
So is somebody going to give me a sensible answer? Why has he got your belt of healing?
Because I've just gifted it to him.
That's very kind. Did you need a belt of healing? Kieran?
He's still looking at the belt.
Kevin Bacon.
Kieran's nodded off.
Kevin Bacon.
He's buffer faced, yeah.
Yeah, apparently Caddo's going to be staying here.
What?
At the church.
Yes, the bishop and Ruth and I had a discussion last evening, and they've asked me to become kind of the spiritual lead for the town whilst we recover from, well, this aberration that's been going on. The Cathars that arrived yesterday can't stay indefinitely, so Ruth and I are being charged by Gerhardt to clean up the town, basically, and deal with Axum re-recruit some, shall we say, more appropriate city guard, I think is probably the way of putting it. And showing the people of Selhoff their way back to Avacyn.
Oh,
Well, that's a bit of a shocker.
Well, I can't say I'm that surprised. I mean, we're sorry to lose you, but I can't say I'm that surprised, guys. I mean, when you think about it, he came down here on a mission to help somebody for the church, and, well, he's just found his place here. It's going to be weird going on without you, but I do understand.
Well, as I just said to Kewin, I mean, you may come back through here. You may come back through here.
Well, we've got to go over to Keswick, which...
After Jenrik's Tower. And I mean, it depends how long it takes for me to deal with the oik up on the hill. But Ruth and I just had a bit of a chat about it last night. And once you've departed, we'll formulate a proper plan. But this city needs cleaning up.
Yeah, I totally understand that.
Yes, I agree. Obviously, like you say, Mr. Axum needs to be dealt with in the proper channels, and yes, I suppose you would, your judgment, you'd be a fine person to do so. But if you are in charge, will you still let ladder maintenance continue?
I'll have to have a discussion with the bishop, but I mean, people have to be able to let their hair down as long as it's done in appropriate ways. I mean, I see no issue with exploding lettuces.
Well, okay, that's great.
We may have to apply a surcharge, perhaps.
Yes.
So that the church gets its cut.
Right. I have no doubt. You could make a spectacle of Lord Axum there, maybe.
I don't know if he wears glasses.
Public execution.
That was bad.
It's going to be strange going back to just the four of us again.
Yes.
Does Esther know? Where is Esther?
I think she was talking to... she was talking to Armin.
Yeah, she went for a bit of a wander earlier. I've not seen her since, actually.
No.
Actually, Armin ran out the door, didn't he? So.
Oh, yeah, he passed us. We were coming back. There's a massive brawl in town. It started in the guild when we were in there, which reminds me, we've picked up a bit of a job. It's only 50 gold pieces, and they don't really know whether it's going to be 50 gold pieces or more, because, well, this is it, guys, and read it for yourselves.
Yeah, we were scared of civil unrest. You mean it started already?
Well, oh, that's nothing. They got hold of your friend, your Battle of Dryfish dog friend that you were telling me about. They got him, oiked him out of the bar, threw him out onto the street, and there is an absolutely huge brawl going on down there. I mean, it's all kicking off. There's bottles and there's food flying. Oh, God. You know, it was all we could do to get out of there in one piece. But we passed Armin on the way back up to the church, and him and his guys were going down there, I think, to try and sort it out.
Oh, at least it'll give Jerome a new story, I suppose.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes, he was still talking about Dryfish Doc, even as he was being wiked out of the guild.
Yeah.
Last time we saw him, he was a bit dishevelled. It was right out the front of the guild.
I can't remember
literally
the name.
Outside
what street
front door
was
the
guild on? I can't remember. Perhaps he'll be calling it the Battle of the Guild.
That's probably the next thing.
Battle of the Guild, well, I took on 40 of these hefty blokes single-handedly.
I have reason to believe if some of the things that Ruth said to me last night are to be believed, he might not be the captain of the guard for very much longer. I think she has plans to replace him. Yes, Pickle, all right. We'll have afternoon tea in a minute.
Well, there might not be much left of him, to be fair. They were tearing a good shred off him. That was the last thing I saw. I wasn't hanging around.
Okay, oh well.
So that piece of paper I've just handed you, Kewin, it's a little job in a town called Stagwick, which I've written on the map, on my map, because it wasn't on there before. Apparently that's the only town. It's about halfway down to Jenrix, but it's the only town between here and there.
Oh, okay.
It's only a small town, but they've got a problem with something killing the animals, but they don't know what it is.
It's biting them.
Biting?
Biting.
Puncture holes.
I don't know. They just said biting.
They don't seem to know much about it, so we'll just have to have a look on the way down.
Yeah, I mean... yes. Well, yeah, I mean, it's on the way. You know, we can always back up. Couple of days travel, I might be ready to bash something, so...
Does anybody know if we've got these horses in the wagon yet? We've been gone a while.
Nobody's come back yet. Huh? Not while we've been sat here, anyway.
No, we've heard, I think.
Right.
No, in fact, nobody's bought afternoon tea yet, have they?
okay, so I think probably...
I'm sure Ruth was mentioning something about before you take up an office, you've got an office in the church, you have to go on a 2-week fast.
Yeah, I might take a pass on that particular activity.
Dear.
If he supplicates himself much more, he'll end up like a human seesaw, won't he?
Sorry, if we could... If he's staying put, he ain't gonna go anywhere, is he?
The first ever sleeping policeman. I'm just gonna lie in the street, like the wagon's down.
You'll know where he supplicates himself because there'll be a dip in the floor which fits his belly.
okay. You eventually, as you're finishing your discussion up, Gerlok appears in the doorway, knocks on the door. She has like a little serving trolley with her, which has got like a platter of sandwiches on it. And she tells you, Gerlok is relatively tall, quite well muscled. She wears very much kind of hunter's clothes, as opposed to the rest of the Cathars who tend to wear the white robes of the church or some variation of. She actually wears dull greens and greys and browns. She dresses a lot like you, Ogvar, in the sense that you can tell that she's quite rough and ready. She's used to a life in the woods, perhaps. You know, you can see dirt smeared up her arms, dirt crusted under her fingernails, which are kept really short. Stains, like plant stains on her hands. You can tell she's probably someone who's quite... she lives a very much outdoor lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
On her left arm, you can see partway up her arm, she has what looks like some scars and some bruising. You say this is probably from a bowstring where she's released arrows without having any arm protection on. and the snap of the bowstring against her arm is, you know, over the years, cut enough times to leave this kind of silvery patch on her arm, which is clearly just from use, and it's just scarred over basically with the trauma of it. But she's quite soft spoken. She has her hair cut relatively short, pulled back out of her eyes, into a low loose bun. She's got quite pretty, quite delicate features. And she pushes this trolley in. She says, Ruth set me up with lunch. I've been to the horse masters, and I've sourced some horses. I've sourced a carriage for you. All that's left to do is to pay for them to cover the costs.
Okay.
There might be, I didn't know whether you wanted saddles and bridles, but the cost for the wagon and the horses is a flat 300 gold fee. Did a bit of haggling and got a favourable price. They're good horses, solid horses. They're strong, they're sturdy, they'll pull a carriage. You can ride them as long as you get, you know, the appropriate tack for them. Yes, you're certainly not getting a bad deal on them. And then feed-wise, I've negotiated a price down. The horse master's willing to do 4 copper pieces per day's worth of food. But that will be up to you to choose how much you take with you. But yes, the horse masters, and she gives you directions over to the horse masters.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Gerlach. That's very, very kind of you, and thank you for your expertise in the horses.
She dips her head to you and then very quietly leaves.
Well, I suppose we have to go see this horse master and give him what we owe him, I suppose.
Yeah, it might pay to get a saddle and bridle, or a couple of them at least. Then if we need to unleash, you know, unhitch a couple of the horses and use them, you might as well.
Oh, yes, okay.
Put the tack on the back of the wagon.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, we should, I think we should go and pay up the horses. And but are we coming back this way to say our final farewell to Mr. Chasseur?
I'll come down with you.
Oh, okay, even
yeah,
better.
I think if we go down, pick up the horses, and then we just leave.
Okay, it'd be good to have you come with us, Caddo, for our final farewell.
Yeah, so I think at the church door, Alora would probably, it would be a case of hugs to various people and thank them very much for their hospitality.
So you go to leave, and obviously you'd have told Ruth that you were going. You're not just going to go without telling anyone.
No.
Esther is very tearfully giving Florent yet another smothering of kisses, and she does the same to Robert and Callie. She is still coming with you. She's determined to see this through to the very end, but she just gives Florent a smothering of kisses, does the kind of grandma thing of sees a bit of dirt on his nose, licks her thumb, and then furiously scrubs at his face. And yeah, all of the Cathars, not the ones who've just arrived, but people like Gerlach, Hall, Colbean. You see Colbean, he looks like he's got a little tear in his eye. And as you kind of go down the line and say goodbye to them and whatnot, he hands over to you, Ogvar. He hands over to you a very small package, and he kind of tearfully kind of boom geezer boom.
And Ogvar sort of nods and puts his fist out and gives him a fist bump and goes boom.
Excellent.
Amazing. Yeah. So you go down the lineup, and Ruth gives you all a big hug, and she gives you her blessings on your way. Pats Caddo on the back. Obviously she knows you'll be returning. Just pats you on the back and gives you a bit of a nod. As you come to Gerhardt, he is propped up on a pew. She rather harshly stamps on his foot, and he whipstabs. And he looks at you. You see his eyebrows, these big, magnificent, bushy eyebrows. They kind of soften. And he looks at you, all of you. He goes, well, whippersnappers, we are indebted to you. You've truly helped the church. And your you are our benefactors. And I wish you all of the best luck on your ongoing journey. And from beside him, he pulls out several items. He pulls out the skin of the Celestial, which he passes over to you, Kewin. And he takes your hands in his, and he mutters a quick prayer. And he does the same with you, Elora, with your bag of flames. And Ogvar, you've still got the boots, but he mutters a prayer over you and blesses you on your journey, effectively. And as you go to leave, you are all of you can make me a listen check. No, spot check, sorry. Spot or listen, whichever's higher.
Does that include me?
Yes.
That'd be a 10 all in for Elora.
10 all in.
What are we doing? Spot or listen?
Whichever's highest.
Ooh, we like that one then.
Yeah.
That'd be spot. 14.
14.
22 for Ogvar.
22. Which one was that on Ogvar, sorry?
Spot.
Spot check. Okay, as you turn to leave, Ogvar, you catch, approaching the church, the familiar figure of Armin Ducasse. The Cathars behind him appear to be dragging an assortment of people. Some young, some old, some male, some female. They all look to be in varied states of disarray. These are probably the so-called perps. But held strongly in Armin's grip is the absolutely flabbergasted, dishevelled figure of Jerome van der Tak, who is spluttering, "Don't you know who I am? I'm Jerome van der Tak, I'm Captain of the Guard." And he is spluttering, his face is, it's puce. And he looks like his eyes are about to pop out of his head. He is that angry. He is tousled, his clothing is torn, he sports a absolutely beautifully shining black eye. And Armin is, his expression is tortured. He's clearly dragged Jerome all the way up to the church, and Jerome has clearly not stopped. And it isn't, you know, it's a hot second before you hear, "Don't you know I was in the Battle of Dryfish Dock, the greatest battle in Selhoff's history?" And off he goes. And he's on a pure rant about the Battle of Dryfish Dock. He is wheeled past you and handed to some of the, some of Armin's Cathars who remained at the church, and they probably drag him off towards the back door. You're not sure whether they're going to take him down to the vault and lock him in the vault or put him outside in the garden, but he disappears off. And you see this lineup of other perps go past, and Armin stands. Clearly he can see that you're leaving. You've all got your packs ready, everything packaged away. You are literally just about to cross the threshold. He looks at you all. He goes, "Well, I wish you the best of luck on your journey. I suppose I shan't see you for another while, Kewin."
Well, you never know, you know.
Yes, well,
good luck to your family.
Yes, well, I have the feeling that my duty should keep me here longer than we all thought. Anyway, Kewin, try not to get lost in the woods.
It's all right, I've got Ogvar.
Elora's going to look at Armin, and she's just going to smile and sort of incline her head and just say, "It was a little brief, but a pleasure to meet you nonetheless. I wish you good fortune."
He looks at you, he takes your hand, kisses the back of your hand, he goes, "It was enchanting to meet you."
Elora's going to blush slightly, but she's going to smile very sweetly at him.
"I told you we preferred the older lady."
Ogvar looks back at Kewin. Ogvar looks back at Kewin and just sticks his tongue out like, "Egh."
Does Elora hear this?
You're stood right there. Yes, you hear this.
She's going to shoot him a look and say, "That's enough of that."
Well, he's only slightly older than me. You know how old are you?
She got a look now. Don't know. I'll
she
get back to
on her
that
fingers.
One. I think 34.
Well, that's 10 years older than me. He's only just older than slightly older than me. He's more what's it age?
Yeah. He grins at you, Kewin, gives you a clap on the shoulder, gives Ogvar a clap on the shoulder, nods at Caddo and goes, well, I think I have to go and tend to our unwilling house guests, so to speak.
Laura's going to turn to Kewin and say, the thing with being 10 years older, that an older woman has a lot more life experience, Kewin.
You cougar, you.
Oh dear.
As he turns to leave, Esther catches hold of Armin and gives him a kiss on the cheek and a bit of a pinch. Does that kind of old lady thing. And he turns away, nods at you once more, and disappears into the back of the church. And you are now out of the door and leaving the church behind.
Whilst out and about, Ogvar and Alora made a beeline for the board in the guild, hoping for a handy assignment to achieve a little extra coin en route. However, they got more than they bargained for, as arguments broke out in the bar and subsequently spilled out onto the Selhof streets. With tempers flared, fisticuffs fanned the flames of fury as civil unrest unleashed itself. The crowd, baying for blood, the familiar face of Vander Tak was now under attack as he found himself the central character of the commotion. The two companions slipped stealthily away, heading back, pausing only to appraise the dashing Armin Ducasse, who, with his Avacynian associates alongside, presented an imposing and impressive show of strength. Meanwhile, up at the cathedral, Caddo chats to Kewin regarding his conversation with Gerhard and Ruth. He reveals that he will be remaining in Selhof and will not be part of the party setting out for Stagwig. Hey, you made it this far, so lend us your ears for a moment longer if you will. Firstly, we are most humbled that you are enjoying our yarn, and the crew thank you from the bottom of their hearts for your patronage. Producing this podcast is incredibly hard work, and as such, if you would like to support us, there are a few ways in which you could really make a difference. Sharing links to friends and family helps to spread the word so others like you can find us, and in turn they too can enjoy the show. Equally helpful is leaving a 5-star review on Spotify and any other streaming services, which will help us immensely. Or, if you feel you could go that extra mile and contribute a few coppers to keep our creative juices flowing, you can hop on over to our Buy Me a Coffee page or drop us an email. We would all be immensely grateful for your support in any form. Lastly, we invite you to visit our website, where you will find information on our campaign From Backstories to Settings. Join our Facebook group or follow us on Twitter. All the links are in our episode bios. Don't forget to smash the subscribe and download buttons so you never miss the next episode. See you all again next week, folks.